Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Gina Bianca podcast, where we talk about life, business, entrepreneurship, the beauty industry, and beyond. My name is Gina Bianca, life and business coach, salon owner, educator, mastermind mentor, and your host of the Gina Bianca podcast. Discover the essence of Italian craftsmanship and beauty with Alpha Parf Milano Professional. From revitalizing hair care and treatments to vibrant color collections, experience the luxury of the Italian house of beauty. Celebrating a global commitment to elevate the beauty craft through advanced formulation, technology, practical salon solutions, and consistently superior results, one bottle at a time. Alpha Parf Milano Professional. Where glamour meets sophistication and hair care perfection. Product Club is a premium hair color tools and accessories brand that provides high quality tools, apparel, back bar essentials, and valuable hair color education. They offer the most innovative products to help professional hair colorists elevate their craft and excel in their work behind the chair. The Product Club mini applicator bottles are perfect for use when you only have a small amount of color or product that is needed. These mini, easy-to-squeeze bottles hold 2 ounces and have extra-long narrow tips for precise color applications. They are embossed with measurement marks for precise measuring and mixing, and this set of 3 bottles with red, silver, and black caps is ideal for easily identifying and tracking multiple formulas at one time. Check out these products and a whole lot more at productclub.com. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Gina Bianca podcast. We are here with Kate Zarvis, the owner of Manicure and Cure Salons in Pittsburgh, PA. We're right in the middle of Salon Ownership Unfiltered. I hope you all have been enjoying this incredible series. I've been having so much fun recording it and talking to all these amazing salon owners. So here's another conversation. Welcome, Kate. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. So you're one of the people on this that I don't know very well, and I have been following you on TikTok. I started seeing your TikToks like all over my For You page. Like I see every TikTok I feel like you're you post is like on my For You page. And I started seeing like you talking about commission salon ownership, and like what drew me to you was that you're like, my commission salons are doing well and I'm home. Like you are able to have some kind of balance in your life. And when I was an employee-based salon owner, I felt like I had no balance and it was really hard for me. So that's what really drew me in to you was your content about salon ownership. So I'm really excited to have you here. I'd love for you to introduce yourself to my audience.
Yeah, thanks so much. And it's funny, I saw you like liking my stuff and I was like starstruck. I was like, oh shit, like this is so cool. And that's just the beauty of social media, right? Like it gets us in front of so many people. So yeah, I'm Kate. I'm a commission salon owner. I own 2 salons here in Pittsburgh, PA. And gosh, I opened up my first salon 7 years ago, but I've been in the industry since I was like 15. My first job was a shampoo girl. I would go get distilled water and lunch and sleep hair, right? I like this mom and pop shop. And then I worked in a higher end salon in high school. And I remember being like googly-eyed at all the hairstylists. I was like, I want to be them. They're so cool, right? They dress so trendy. And then I went to beauty school. And beauty school wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. It was like emotionally challenging. I think we all can relate to that. And like, I wasn't really supported by my family either. You know, they wanted me to go to college and that was a rough spot whenever you're so young, everyone else is going to college and you're making this, different choice. So that was definitely a challenge. And whenever I felt so confident in beauty school. I thought that I was like the bee's knees. And then I went to work at my first salon and I didn't know anything, right? Like the hair color line was so different. And I fell into doing nails because the owner of that salon was like, oh, I don't do hair because my training program was just like shampoo for everyone and walk around. And I was like, I've been doing this since I was 15. So she taught me how to do nails, and she actually put me through this pretty intense training program. I mean, I was getting graded. That's where I learned like training and focus wins, right? You don't have the right leader in your salon, then it's going to be easy to fail. A lot of people get discouraged because they don't have the right training and they just say, I'm going to go do something else. So that was kind of my introduction into the industry. It wasn't always just rainbows and butterflies. It was pretty challenging to kind of find my place.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you started with nails, and then when did you open your salons?
Yeah, I started with nails when I was like 20 or 21, and I opened up my first salon when I was 23 or 24. I've been working for someone, and I had like this management role without getting paid for it. And I thought that I was going to be like the partner of the salon. And that was just like this weird dream that I had, you know, and finally I learned that this is actually not going the path that I wanted, thought that it was going. So I had to cut ties. And that was like the hardest decision, leaving a salon that you thought that you were going to grow out forever. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. So I went on my own. I moved towns like 45 minutes away. I went to work somewhere else. Gosh, from the bottom up, the first week I had six people in my book, right? And like, that was rough. So it took me 2 years to build my book at that other salon. And that salon owner was welcoming, like she welcomed me with open arms. She was a commission salon, and she was like, they were a hair salon, but she was like, we don't do nails here, Kate. Come here, you're amazing. I'm gonna support you. And like, eventually you're gonna use my salon and bounce off and do your own thing. Like, I see the potential in you. That's really what I needed at that time, like someone to believe in me. So grew my book in 2 years. And then I opened up my location, like honestly, right upstairs from that salon.
Really? And that's your nail salon? Awesome. And then do you have like another hair salon?
So my second salon is a spa. It's like a modern day spa. So we do facials, lashes, body waxing, and eyelashes. Yeah, I already said that. But I opened that business because I had this back room in my nail salon that I would hire estheticians. And it was so much easier for me to get an esthetician than a nail tech. I swear to God, nail techs are hard to find. So estheticians were applying all the time, and I'm like, wow, I could actually hone these people. And at that point, my salon was working like I wanted it to financially, and it was pretty stable. So I'm like, I'm gonna put my systems to the test. And if I can open up this business that I can't actually do, then it's my systems. And if I fail, then I know that it's my systems, right? So I opened that with a business partner who was a lash tech. She's a lash tech. She had no management experience, and I just said, here, this is how we're gonna run it. And it just skyrocketed. I mean, within 3 years, like it's just crushing it so much faster than my nail salon took.
Awesome. That's amazing. So, do you have any like business experience or like schooling that you had like before you opened a salon, or was it just beauty school? You were just going for it.
Yeah, beauty school was my only like actual education.
I'm asking all the salon owners this 'cause it's interesting to see the background of everybody. It's like some people like took accounting classes before they went to beauty school. Some people like their parents wouldn't let them go to school, beauty school without doing college. And then some people like me, like, and you now, like now that I know, like we didn't have any other kind of education. We just dove into it.
Yeah, we absolutely dove into it. And I'll never forget calling my dad and saying, come see this location that I'm gonna get. I'm gonna sign the lease, you know, next week. I was like, oh, what? Like, you're going to business. So I moved out when I was 18. Like, I was like, you know, my wings were spread. I was on my own. So it's like, yeah, come see this spot, you know. And he looks at him, he's like, wow, so he's asking me about numbers and stuff. And I was like, you're so rude. Like, why are you putting me down right now? Like, dad, all I know that it's $2,000 a month. I have to bring in at least 2,000 to cover the rent. I can cover the rent. I got this. And he was questioning me hardcore. And I knew that he was right, but I didn't want to, you know, say that my dad was right. So lucky enough, the landlord called me and said, hey, like this spot isn't for rent anymore. The current, you know, lease or tenant is gonna stay here. And that was a blessing in disguise because I took the next year and a half to actually figure out those things. So I use a bunch of free resources in Pittsburgh. We have Pitt University here. I literally Googled like how to open a small business, and the SBA I called them, the Small Business Association, which like literally saved my life. They sent me a packet, how to open a small business, like literally for dummies. It had check boxes. I sent it to my girlfriend a year later. I was like, use this, like this helped me. This was a lifesaver. It said, okay, how to apply for an EIN number? What does it mean to open up a business? And it gave me all those steps. That was awesome. I used Pitt University, had a free resource for all our business students to work for people like me for free to show me like how to make a business plan. Chatham University is a women's only college here. They have a free little like entrepreneurship program that I went in for two classes. They got me going. So I just hustled. I had no money and I was like, I'm going to make this happen. And I stayed up till way too late every night. Well, you know, my roommates were at the bars coming home at 2 a.m. and I'm on my computer trying to figure this out. I just hustled, you know, I used Google.
Yeah, I love that. Like, so true. Amazing. I love that. I can totally relate to all of that. Okay. So tell us about the business model, your commission salon. Tell us like how your salon runs, or both of your salons, right? Are they both commission?
Yeah. So they're both commission. Interesting thing about PA is booth rental is not illegal. So solo salons came through like probably over 5 years ago. And that was a whole eye opener. And we definitely saw a shift in the industry here in Pittsburgh. We're like, whoa, what? People can now do their own thing. So I only know commission style salons because I thought that's all we have here. So in our salons, their employees, everyone is gets, they start on hourly until they can bring in at least what they would make hourly, right? Because I don't want anyone making less on commission. Mm-hmm. So they have these thresholds that they have to meet. And then one salon has levels. And I introduced the levels in my nail salon because we are getting a lot of, we call them detractor feedback for, well, I went to this girl and it was amazing. Then I went to a newer girl and it like wasn't so good.
Wait a second. Do you use Booker?
Yeah.
Okay. You said detractor feedback. So you use Frederick?
Yeah.
Okay. So I use that in my salon. Okay. Yeah. I loved that. Oh my God. I loved Booker and Frederick. That filled our books.
Filled.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay. Cool. All right.
Yeah. So side note on Booker, anytime I'm working with a salon owner, I show them, I'm like, if you don't want to move from Square, you don't want to move from Bagaro, I get it. I show them my second location. And in month number one, Booker brought us in $1,000. That's $1,000 that we would not have made in our first month, right? Like, it doesn't seem like a big number, but girl, we needed that $1,000 our first month of business, you know? So like, it's just the proof is in the pudding. I love that you can see those results from Booker. It was awesome.
I love Booker. Yes. Okay. And you said detractor feedback. I was like, I know what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're getting detractor feedback, which basically means negative feedback on some of your people. So you have the level system now.
Mm-hmm. So we have a level system in my nail salon. Also, we definitely focus on training people. Like that's our bread and butter. I finally accepted the fact that one unicorn isn't going to come through and the 4 years of experience, have a full book, you know, dying to work for me, whatever. So I bit the bullet and I started marketing as like, we invest in you. And this is how you can feel confident whenever you're working at our salon. We put you through a training program. I don't care if you have 3 years of experience or 3 days of experience, like you're going to feel like you just got schooled whenever you came, you know, through here. And that really gets them confident. It also gives the clients an expectation of what they're getting, which is helpful for not only the client's experience, but, you know, the technician's experience too. So we have levels and we have commission tiers like connected to each level. And then in the spa, it's kind of just sales based. So depending on where you are, how much you're bringing in, and pretty much your retention is how you get paid. That doesn't change every week. Just want to clarify that. We have employee reviews every year.
Awesome. And what is your like daily role? Like, are you in the treatment room at all? Are you doing nails still? Or are you in full-time leadership mode? Like, what's your daily role?
Yeah. 2 years ago, I completely stepped back from doing nails. And that was a huge change. I slowly started stepping back like one day over about 3 years. And then I think it was like between 3 and 4 years, I was able to step back completely. I did take a pay cut whenever I did that. And that was something that I knew. The important part about that is that I knew that I would get a pay cut and know exactly what it would look like. It wasn't just like, I'm gonna throw my hands up in there, hope that the salon will be safe if I don't do nails anymore. Because I wanted to switch my focus and I knew that I could be more powerful from the business sense than behind the chair.
Totally. Awesome. And like, that must have been hard. I mean, I totally really, because getting out from behind the chair was like the hardest thing ever. I had a broken foot and I was like hobbling through the salon. I was like, the broken foot was a gift. I could have just been like, oh, I can't do hair anymore. And like, just like step back gracefully. But like, you had to like pull me from behind my chair because I like just it was so hard for me to leave. But once I like finally got out of it and started focusing on my business, it grew so much.
Yeah. I think my business like really came to fruition once I realized what my role was.
Awesome. So when you're looking at your employees and when you're hiring, like what are some things you look for in like a potential hire? Real talk, if you're not shopping at Marlo Beauty Supply, you are losing money. But don't worry. If you have a cosmetology license, you can sign up at marlobeauty.com and shop at wholesale prices with no minimum order. Marlo Beauty Supply only sells to professionals. This is key because they're one of the only companies that puts salons first. Marlo ships right to your salon. Their shipping is so fast, and their website is always stocked with all the beauty essentials that you need. Their customer service team is wonderful, and all of their items have a 30-day return window, no questions asked. Stop overpaying for the essentials and head to marlobeauty.com.
We look on their experience because that's going to tell us more about what their training program was going to be like. So we need to figure out how much time we're going to be investing in this person. It's not like, is she good or bad? It's just, where is she going to fit in this program? Do we have the income, you know, and the finances to support this or the staff to support this training program? And like, I just want a smile on your face, girl. I just want a positive attitude and some good energy. That's what I'm looking for.
Love that. And I know before we talked, you said you really wanted to talk about like some KPIs, like some numbers that salon owners should focus on. What are the numbers that you're looking at every week?
Yeah. Every week I'm looking at our bank account. I mean, nearly every day I'm opening up my bank account and making sure that there's like nothing crazy happening. It's important to have your eyes on the numbers and you can see the pulse of things. Every other week when I'm running payroll, I look a lot of things like how much my payroll was in comparison to how many sales we brought in, right? What was that percentage? And I know what that percentage should be. And if we're over, then something's either wrong or I need to figure out why. And that's the important part. It's never like, oh, that's bad. It's, well, why did that happen? Can I stop that from happening? Or is that going to happen every 3 months because X, Y, and Z?
And what causes that? What I think of is just low productivity. So if people are there, do you pay hourly plus commission or hourly or commission or just straight commission after a certain?
Yeah, you're on hourly. And then whenever you're on commission, you're on straight commission.
Nice. Okay, cool.
So some things that could affect that, especially in the summer, two things that affected that over the past like 4 months, vacations. We had a lot of girls on vacations and we pay PTO. So yeah. I'm paying people who aren't there. The productivity came down because some of our clients were on vacation as well. So
it makes sense. Yeah, totally. What other numbers are you looking at?
I always look at my QuickBooks. So if anyone's not using QuickBooks, definitely hire an accountant, a bookkeeper who can help you tag team that. For years, I had a bookkeeper. And I thought that's what I was supposed to do. And she would send me these reports and I would literally ignore them in my email because they were just a bunch of numbers to me. And then I wanted to save some money actually because my salon like at middle of year two was just sinking. So I'm like, okay, how can I save some money? Let me do my books. So she actually met me for coffee and I paid her at an hourly rate to like teach me how to use QuickBooks. And finally I figured out where I was spending my money, right?
Yep, been there. Yeah. I hired this lady like in 2014 when I first opened my salon and she sat me down and had me and trained me on QuickBooks for like 4 sessions I paid her for. And then I eventually started doing my own QuickBooks and damn, it is so humbling to see where your money is going. Like it is insane. Now my husband does all the books. So he has eyes on everything. It's almost worse that he does them. He's like, what is that? What are you buying? So, but it's amazing to be able to just run a report and see how your business is doing.
Exactly. And that's how we make our budgets every year. That's how we look at that payroll percentage. And like whenever I work with salon owners, that's the first thing that I show them. I'm like, if you don't have QuickBooks, which a lot of salon owners, they're like, oh wait, I do have a username. Like I did buy this once and I never followed through. So I show them how to use it.
Awesome. What other numbers do you look at?
That's pretty much all. I mean, I'm always looking at my payroll. I know my sales because I'm comparing them to my payroll. And then I allocate my funds every other week. So that means that I like plug them in this calculator and they tell me how much money that I should pay my employees, right, to get that sweet number. Not should, but like how much it should be based on a percentage, how much money I should save for taxes, how much money I can pay myself, and how much money I should put into savings. So that's been a lifesaver.
Awesome. Okay, so why is your salon different? Like, why do people like choose to work at your place over the place down the street? Like, what would you say sets your business apart?
Yeah, so it's, I think it's funny because the two salons are so different. I love the fact they're both small businesses. They have different vibes. Like they're not identical. I don't want to franchise. I love that we can have a different environment, different culture. So I think that whenever people want to work with my nail salon, it's going to come down to the support that you get with training and with booking. And we hear a lot of things about people working at nail salons and they have to buy all of their own products and they have to do all their own bookings. And we just really want people to focus on skill set and giving a great experience. Our management team, our front desk, our owners will do all the rest. Like we just want people to come in and do great work. And at both locations, it's just, I think, a place that you can be supported at. And that takes time to build that community trust where people can say, like, I've never heard of a person who had a bad experience working there, or people start to talk, people start to know. So whenever you can kind of like get your feet cemented in the ground, say, like, our business values these things, and that bleeds from the inside out.
Love that. Do you guys accept gratuities in your salon?
Yeah.
I always ask because there's like all this stuff going around, like that salon should be gratuity free. I'm a huge fan of gratuity, so I've just been asking everybody on this series if they accept gratuities. Okay, great. And how do you feel like when you're like hiring and looking for people, like how are you finding staff? Like, are you using like Indeed? Are you sliding in DMs? Like, are you like advertising in any specific way? Like, where are you finding people?
I'm just gonna focus on like the last year and a half because things have changed. Indeed used to work for us and now it doesn't. And after probably like 8 months to a year of having that, I'm like, let's stop using this because we are getting a lot of our hires just organically through social media. We always have a post that we're hiring and we do our best to always incorporate our team on our social media. If I was to look at your social media and only see photos and like I won't see any people, it's gonna be hard to attract people. People attract people, right? Like that's why people follow you. Your face is all over it. Like they feel like they know you. So I think in your salon, you have to bring out that too. People want to see like what I vibe with that, what I, can I connect with that? So that's gonna draw more people to wanting to work for you. I feel like social media is where it's at.
Totally. Okay. So, what advice would you give to a stylist who wants to open their own salon in this day and age? What advice would you give them? Or warnings?
Yeah. Someone who wants to open up their salon, I would remind you to remember your intentions on why you're opening a salon. I mean, from my experience, mine was like kind of in vengeance. Like, I can do this better. But I didn't know what I was going to do better. I just wanted to make it better. Right. So, like, there's a huge gap that needs to be connected for, well, what are you going to make better in your salon that you're not getting? Right, at the current one. And it's going to come down to your numbers. And like, you can't just copy other salons and feel like a little piece and bite of each little thing, like a buffet, is going to help you run a good business or a successful business. So focus on like why you're doing this and create your foundations before you even start.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned in the beginning, like while all your friends were out at the bar, you were like up obsessed with your business on your laptop. Like, totally can relate to that. Like, I really do feel like you have to be obsessed with your work in order to like really make it come to fruition and do well. And what do you think every salon owner currently who is a salon owner should like realize or know today? Like some salon owners are like stuck in the past. What do you think they need to just know about today's day and age as a
That,
business owner?
yeah, as a business owner and a salon owner and like a leader, especially, don't get so stagnant. Like, keep hustling, keep moving, and like keep working, right? And if you feel like you're kind of at a wall, then get a mentor. I've had a mentor since my second year in business. I don't think that I would be where I am today without having someone to hold me accountable. Someone to tell me something that I don't know, right? Have my brain think in a different way and just push me to get to my goals. It is hard and lonely out there as a business owner and an entrepreneur, you know? So like, it doesn't have to be that way. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah, I love that. And I want to like ask you before we conclude this episode, like you talk about balance and all of those things like on your social media and stuff. How would you say, or like, what advice would you give to someone like who wants to have almost like a less hands-on business? Like, how do they get that balance?
Yeah. First off, like nothing is passive. Even an online course ain't passive. Like everything takes
It is not passive to have an online course. Every online course is its own business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even an ebook is going to be work. Like you got to work, you know? Yeah. So there's really no such thing as a passive income. You have to work hard for it, but you have to make sure that, you know, if you want this sort of balance where you don't have to be in your salon to be for it to be making money, then it's going to come down to the numbers and figuring out, well, how much does my salon have to bring in order for me to have that time away? One thing that helped me was figuring out how many employees do I need to replace one of my days, even if they're on commission. And like, that was interesting. I need 1.5. Okay, cool. So I need a salon full of 8, right? So things like that to simplify it, and block out the time. Just like you have haircuts, just like you have nail appointments, spa appointments, block out your time on your calendar to work on your business whenever you're in your business. My business partner does this too. If you were to look at our schedules whenever I was in the salon, it would be like appointment with so-and-so, work on social media. And then I had an appointment. And then at the end of the day, even if I was done taking appointments, I would still time block. And I do that for some of my new people in training too. If they're getting a little scatterbrained, I'll be like, focus on this, this, and this in this hour. And I still time block all my days. So you have the time. It's like, does time own you or do you own the time?
Yes, I find I'm so much more productive when I have a really good to-do list with like check marks and when my calendar is dialed in for the week. So like I'll go in the beginning of the week or even go 2 or 3 weeks out and just put in the time or else it will get away from me. So I love that advice.
Absolutely. I tell some of the people that I work with, like, if I could do anything, go in your schedule and block that first hour of every Tuesday or Thursday and just say like, I call it desk time. You're just going to focus on the business for that 1 hour and let it be. Don't move it.
Yeah. Love that. And so you're doing coaching and do you want to talk about that?
Sure. I started coaching about 2 years ago. It happened kind of organically, just helping some people out that were asking me for advice. Then I actually thought that I could make a online course and it wouldn't be passive.
It's not passive.
It wasn't. And no one bought it.
Yeah, no one, I always tell people that I'm like, an online course like does not sell itself. Like you have to have like a serious marketing strategy.
Right. So I might've got persuaded by too many social media posts coming my way and the algorithm, but that really honestly just built my system for me. And I was able to organize that. So started working with people one-on-one. And then last November, I started putting people into a group program, which has just built such a beautiful community. Like I said, it's too lonely up in here being a salon owner. Like it doesn't have to be that way. We're all in this together. So I work with some awesome salon owners here in Pittsburgh, ones that own nail salons, like a community over competition. Like you can have my systems. I'm here to watch you grow. It doesn't mean you're going to like, what, take over my business. You know, we're all friends here. So it's been awesome.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you. Can you tell everyone where to find you and follow you?
For sure. And thanks so much again for having me here. This is awesome.
My
pleasure.
You guys
can find me on TikTok or Instagram at Salon Nerd.
Love it. Thank you so, so, so much, Kate. I'm sure we'll have you back again. I appreciate you. And thank you everyone for listening. And we'll see you on the next one. Thank you so much for listening to Salon Ownership Unfiltered. This series has been so fun to record. I've learned so much from all of the amazing guests, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to provide this amazing free resource to all of you. It wouldn't be possible without all of my sponsors, my mastermind group, and Educate with Influence, because those amazing people and businesses support this free education. So please please check out all the sponsors. Visit GinaBianca.com/podcast to get all of the information and more resources attached to this episode. I would also love to encourage you to leave a rating and review if you're loving the podcast. All right, that's it. I'll talk to you guys soon and hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll see you on the next one.